You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is, as I always say, time to wake up. That we wake up to hear the essence of the Father's heart. What's his heart beating? I was talking to Danny, and I love what Danny. I love what you just said earlier. That God doesn't need our help. I asked Danny if he'd share that, but he reiterated and told me God doesn't need our help, does he, Danny? Doesn't need it. I think my biggest problem is. Or should I say our biggest problem, in may possibly in the church, is do we really trust him? As the word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And what did he say? He shall direct your path. So, you know, if we lean and trust him, he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Quite evident, Danny, you were sharing your experience of last week, and what an experience that you had, that God put on your heart to do something. And I just want to share with you that are listening that whatever Jesus is telling you to do, keep your ears open, because there's going to be times he may reroute you. You have a plan to do something, to go somewhere and to do something, and, you know, it's like Jesus to come in and mess your plans up because it maybe wasn't his plans, or things have changed and he needed you somewhere else. So let's have an open heart, you know. Let's just have an open heart that if we plan something, you know, to do something, listen to Jesus, what he tells you to do. And, you know, as Danny was sharing with me this morning, and I really enjoyed it, that he doesn't need our help. He just doesn't. Sometimes I want to help him out, and, you know, a lot of times he'll just say, you know, son, I don't need your help. You know, he's a big God, everyone. He's really big. Well, I'm glad to be on. Last week I enjoyed Pastor Paul being on with me, and Danny was on a fishing tournament where Jesus spoke to him to go back home. I hope you didn't mind me sharing that, Danny, but God, sometimes God will do that. He'll just interrupt us. You know, when you just think, you know, that you're just going to go somewhere, many times in the mission field, we have plans to do something and go on this way, but the Lord had other plans for us, and there used to be like 9 or 10 of us that would go out on the streets of Waikiki and minister, share our hearts till 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not exaggerating. There's times I'd take sinners to church with me on Sunday because we were up all night at Waikiki Beach ministering to people. And we just put them in the car and take them to church. You know, Daryl, pack a few people. I'd fill my car up and take them. And then they didn't know it, but we told them we'd take them to breakfast, and then they're going to church. And they said, okay, you know, at least they got a good breakfast out of it. But many times the Lord led us down other streets and other places. And just be open. Where you are today, have an open heart. You know, that your plans, you know, Lord, am I walking in the steps as the scriptures tell us that the steps of a righteous are ordered by him? But don't ever be surprised if, you know, your plans change at any moment because something else is needed somewhere else, much more than where you are. I call those divine appointments, you know, that Jesus will have you doing something, and maybe we weren't listening to him to go one way, and we went our own way. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, that Jesus must increase, that we must decrease, our flesh. And I'm going to go into that a little bit later. But, you know, is it, you know, our will or his will? And if we've given 100% of our life to Christ, you know, old things, in John, 1 John, I believe, it says, old things are passed away, behold, you're a new creature in Christ. Have you given your life to Christ? And if you do know Christ, are you surrendering on a daily basis, every day? Are you continually carrying your cross? And it's a daily thing. It's a daily thing that our flesh learns. As a cross represented Christ's death, you know, we need to crucify our flesh every single day. Lord knows I do. Because there's times, you know, Tom wants to rise up my flesh. And the Lord says, no, you must decrease. You know, staying in the Word, that'll help us get closer to Jesus. Staying in prayer, you know, praying, as the Word says, as the Scriptures tell us, pray without ceasing. That's so very, very important that we stay in prayer, stay in the Word, and, you know, fellowship. You know, many people I minister to or come in contact with, they, I don't need church. I don't need, yes, and I thought to myself, yes, you do. No, I can just meet God at my house and fellowship. Well, okay, you know, that's not true. The scriptures tell us don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. You go to church because you the pastor brings you the word. Other people will encourage you. Well, you know, you might say, well, you know, someone offended me at church. And I love what Pastor Malcolm Wilde said one time. If someone in the church offends you, there's plenty more that will love on you. And I love that. And Pastor Malcolm, I just sit there and I'm like a sponge when he ministers. And he's a pastor of the church up here in Merritt Island and Calvary. And he's very, very, all the pastors there are very good in the word. They're very good. They're very humble. That's what I've noticed been going there for years. They're very humble. It's not about them. It's all about Jesus. It's pointing you closer and surrendering each and every day. Your life is not yours. It's his. Your plans aren't your plans. They're his plans. And just strive to become more like him. And I'll share with you, and we're going to be in the book of John in a minute, and a way that will encourage you to watch what you speak. Watch what you say. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was telling Danny this morning, I got a very bad letter. It was horrible. I mean, it actually almost brought me to my knees that someone would write such a letter when, you know, when the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 3:13 that we are to encourage one another daily, why today is still called today. Not pick on one another, have a critical spirit. There seems to be a lot of that going on, and I don't have time for that. You know, I have 9 guys that work with me and my business partner, and you know what? I never gossip about him to my guys. I tell my guys that if I tell you something, I don't go around and tell the other guys. What I like to do with the guys that work for me is I like to encourage them. And if they do something wrong, I take them aside privately and in God's grace and love and mercy, just share with them, you know, what they've done wrong. They could work and do a little bit better. And, you know, because the word says all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but afterwards produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And how much does the Father love us that he will discipline us too at times? So, you know, if you have a critical spirit, if you're gossiping about somebody, if you're backbiting, you know, you need to get on your knees and lay that at the feet of Jesus and not do that anymore. Because that go back to the scriptures. Hebrews 3:13 tells us that we are to encourage one another daily while today is still called the day. Saints of God, that is so vitally important today. That is so vitally important. As a kid growing up, my mom passed away in front of my sister and I was 13 years old. And all my father, you know, I said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm leaving. And he left. And he told me one time, he said, you're never going to amount to anything. You'll never have anything. And, you know, I started to believe that. I started to believe I'll never have anything. You know, little did I realize what Jesus had planned for me. You know, he didn't give up on my sister and I. You know, there are times we didn't have any water, and in the winter, no heat in the house. And I used to go to the library and study on my days off, not working, and stay in the library. One night I fell asleep, and the lady woke me up and said, we're closing. Jesus got me through that difficult time. And no matter what you're going through, he will get you through your difficult time. But we have to know him intimately as our Lord and Savior. And that's what it's all about. You know, And I've forgiven this fella. And matter of fact, I bless him in Jesus' name. If you're listening, I bless you. I bless you. And I pray that critical spirit will be broken off of you in Jesus' name. That God didn't give us a mouth to be critical. Because my late mother-in-law once said, don't pick your friends apart. Because if you do, you won't have any friends. And it's so true. And a lot of you will say, well, I just haven't found the perfect church. Well, I don't know about you finding the perfect church, but I know if I find the perfect church, you know what? I need to stay out of it because I'll ruin it. I'm just being honest with you. There is no perfect church. You know, man's running it. Then these pastors are doing the best they can. And don't pick on them. You know, don't pick on people, because being a pastor, that's hard work. Arduous hours of studying the Word of God. I mean, it's quite evident when I go to my church and hear Pastor Malcolm or Pastor Lynn and the youth pastor minister. I mean, those guys pour it out of their heart. You can just hear how they've spent time in the Word of God and before God and what to teach. And it's mind blowing that they can share the scriptures, you know, the way they do, from their heart. From God's heart to their heart to our hearts. I'm like a sponge. I'm telling you what, I don't know about any of you. I go to church, I'm like a sponge listening to every word that Pastor Malcolm says or Pastor Lynn says and absorbing everything. And that's what I want you to get in the habit of doing. Let's not get into, you know, becoming critical or backbiting about this person or this pastor and saying, I don't need church. Yes, you do need church. Well, I've been hurt. I've been offended. You know, get over it. Forgive. The Bible tells us to forgive 70 times 7, which is 490 times, which is an infinite amount of times. You're going to have to remember how many times you've forgiven that person. So forgive them in the very beginning and move on. One time, you know,
I had to, years later, after I've gone into the military, I still was a little bitter at my father. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart. And you know what he said? He said, if you don't forgive your father, if you don't forgive that, forgive and let go of your past is going to bury you. And that's what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. You carry that past around with you, thinking that you're never going to amount to anything, never going to have anything. You're never going to amount to anything. Well, guess what? You know, so a man thinketh that he is. You know, we have to encourage one another daily. Why? Today is still called the day. It's so critically important, saints of God, that we have to keep our eyes focused on him. His word says, perfect peace is his whose mind is stayed on Jesus. Not your circumstances, not what someone said. Learn to forgive him and move on. Forgive him one time. Forgive him and move on. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, if you don't forgive your father, if you don't forgive that past will bury you. And in Jesus' name, I said, Lord, help me bury this past. I need to have a funeral service and bury my past. And I did. I learned to bury it. And then I ended up giving my father's funeral service. And it was awesome. I never was critical to my father at the service. I gave a wonderful service for my father and invited my sister to come up and share. And she was kind of shy. She didn't want to share. But what a lovely service my father had. And, you know, we need to live a life to the fullest. You know, you may not be here tomorrow, you know. What are you doing for today? What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing to be a blessing? Are you encouraging people or discouraging people? You know, life and death, the word says, are in the power of our tongue. You can speak blessings or cursings. And the tongue can be good and the tongue can be bad. Now, that's a sermon in itself on that one. But I'm just here to encourage you, you know, to draw closer to Jesus like never before. Fall deeper in love with him like never before. Yeah, some of you listening, you know, I'm sure that guy that, you know, he just, I don't know what he didn't like about me, but you know, I'm not the most qualified, as I shared and you've all heard. I'm not the most qualified to be here. I'm not the most educated person to be here. You know what? I'm the most willing. And that's what the Lord looks for in an individual's life. When you're saved and you've committed your life to Christ, he didn't pick the most educated person. He doesn't pick, not always. He picks someone that has a willing heart, like the disciples. When he told those boys, you know, drop your net and come follow me, those boys dropped the net and they followed Jesus. And if you look at it, they didn't want, none of them picked the net up just to have a backup plan just in case Jesus didn't come through. He did come through for those boys, the disciples. He did provide for them. He took care of them. He looks for the willing heart. And with that willingness, he will give you the ability to do what he's called you to do, whatever that may be, whether it be ministry, becoming a missionary, being a blessing to the church, or a blessing and giving you a skill to be a blessing to the world, you know, because all of us are gifted. All of us are talented. And don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. The word of God, the scriptures tell us, I can do. I believe it's Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So don't allow one person. If God has put something in your heart, in your spirit, and in your mind to do it, do it. Do it with excellency. Do it with greatness for his purpose and for his glory. And don't forget to give him all the glory and the praise and the honor. Don't you dare take it and look at me and look what I'm doing. Look what, No, you give him thanks and you give him all the praise and all the glory. I believe every human being living has a destiny and a purpose on this life. You need to find out what that is. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, as a poor boy with nothing, we didn't have any money. And this is the truth. I made my sister, I bought three Campbell soups. I think it was tomato soup. I actually made her put five cans of water in that soup to make it last. We didn't have anything, nothing. God always provided. Sometimes we didn't have water. I had to go to the neighbor's house to get some water. About many winters, we had no heat. But I watched the Father show up, keep us warm, wrap his arms around us, and he provided. And even going to the dentist, my mom said, always take care of those teeth. I went to the dentist, and I said, sir, you know, I don't have much, but my mom told me that, you know, we're to keep our teeth cleaned and get a cleaning. I said, you'll just have to. Can I make payments on this for my sister and I, or two sisters and I? He said, yes, you can make payments. And I think teeth cleaning back then were like $3.50. I can't remember. Less than $5. not like today. So anyway, he allowed me to make payments for my two sisters and myself and for our teeth cleaning. That's why we all still to this day have our teeth. And if it wasn't for my mom encouraging us to take care of our teeth, I might have not had teeth. I'm not picking on people that don't have teeth, but my mom said it's so important to take care of your teeth. So, you know, God always provided for my sister and I, and so will he provide for you, whatever that may be. You know, you may be called to become a missionary, and I pray that you become the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. If you're called to be a pastor, you become the greatest pastor that the world has ever seen. If you're called to be a plumber, you become the best plumber the world has ever seen. That you take those gifts and you take those talents that he put in you. Because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my life, I tell you what, it was a mess. From a poor boy with a mom that just passed away in front of my sisters and I lived in a state of hopelessness for years and years and years. I was offered a scholarship at Purdue University because one of my architectural drawings went to Purdue University. And I went up there. I don't know why I'm sharing all this. I'm getting a little sidetracked. Hope you don't mind. But I took a technical school in landscape architectural drawings, and I submitted one of my drawings, and Purdue University wanted me to come up. And so the professor took me up there. It was two guys and myself. And the panel looked at me and said, we really loved your drawing. And I said, well, thank you. And they said, we want you to come here. And all I could think about was, who's going to take care of my two sisters? And we don't have a father. And first of all, how am I going to come up with the additional money that I need to pay the other 2 years? I said, and I told the panel, I think it was four men and a woman, I believe. There was five. And they said, we really want you to come here. And I just said, that there's just no way. There's no hope. I'm very poor. And my sisters are, you know, we don't have much. And I just said, there's just no hope for my life, and I'm just going to have to go back home. You know, there is hope. There is hope in Christ. Christ offers hope that the world can't give you. Christ offers you peace that the world can't give you. Christ offers you joy. And I, you know, I haven't shared this on the radio, but there was a couple of years I had to go to counseling because as a young man, I was confused, you know, taking care of two sisters, still grieving the loss of my mom, that my dad took off. How does this all work? And such responsibility was given to me that you couldn't have gotten a word out of me. I stayed quiet from 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and I just was quiet. And my yearbook, I was the most quietest student in high school because you couldn't have got a word out of me. I closed up. And if you're closing up, I want Jesus to open you back up. I want you to surrender everything back to him, that there is hope. Where there looks to be no hope, there is hope. God provided, the Lord provided for my sister and I. It wasn't easy, but we made it through it. And I had a little part-time job, and in the winter I shoveled snow. Summertime I went door-to-door to cut grass. I sowed flower seeds, and I made my sister make potholders, and I'd go door-to-door, and people would argue with me. Well, they're 25 cents last time. I said, well, due to inflation, they're a little bit more this time, and prices gone, things have gone up. And so I raised the potholders up, and I'd go door-to-door. You know, but if anyone has ever spoken anything negative in your life, just take it to the cross and say, Lord, I bury this today. I bury this. If someone said something to hurt you, I want you to take it to the cross. I want you to take it to the cross. Because what I'm going to share this morning in John, it says that we must decrease. Our flesh must decrease that he may increase. And oh, how I wish I knew or had someone to encourage me as a Christian when I was going through those most difficult times of my life, thinking everything's hopeless. And matter of fact, I went to a counselor up until I joined the military, and I would sit there for the first year, and this is not, I'm not exaggerating. For the first year, I met Dr. Jim Leggett, and he was from Clarksville, Indiana, which is very close to Louisville. I'd go there every week. It was a Wednesday. I'd go from there on to work, and I'd just cry. And I'd cry for 1 hour. And then after a year, Dr. Jim Leggett put my chin up. He said, look at me, Tom. He said, if you don't talk to me, how am I going to help you? How am I going to help you, son? I said, but there's no hope for me. And my life is over. There's no hope. And he said, but there is hope. So I'm telling you today, you that are listening, that you don't see a way out. You don't see a way of escape. You don't see any hope in your life. There is hope. Our hope is in Christ. And I pray that Jesus brings you. And that's why I'm really, and I reiterate this over and over. I sound like a broken record sometimes. But Hebrews 3:13, the scriptures tell us that we are to encourage one another on a daily basis. And church, I'm asking you, you know, and the Lord's asking you to start having a spirit of not condemnation, a spirit that doesn't become critical to other people, but a spirit that you would go around encouraging one another. It's so vitally important because you don't know who you're going to come up to. You don't know who you're going to bump into that you may need to share Christ with, or that they may encourage you that there is hope. Boy, I wish I had that when I was growing up as a young man. I never had anyone, no one. And no, I didn't go to Purdue University. I did finish trade school. And the Lord, then after that, the Lord put me in the military and then the mission field. What can he do for you? What can you do for Jesus? What can you do for Jesus? Let me ask you that question. What is it that Jesus is calling you to do? You know, sometimes we can just dwell on our problems and our issues and complain about the bigness and greatness of our problems, but not the bigness and greatness of him. Let's turn this around now and start talking about the goodness and greatness of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, not the greatness and bigness of my problems. As a young man, that's all I dwelled on. There's no hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. But there was hope. There was hope. And how I wish that I had someone to say, Tom, you're going to make it. You're going to be fine. The Lord is with you. And, you know, I used to, as a young man, I used to go to St. Mary's Catholic school, and I'd go there and light the little candles up, and I thought the more I lit the candles, the more Jesus is going to hear me. I lit more candles than you would never believe how many candles. I'd go to this station, run over this hallway and light more candles, and back then they were 25 cents. I said, Lord, I'm going to have to float alone because I can't pay for these candles. I need you to hear from me. And then they got the bigger candles in. I'll never forget this. St. Mary's got these bigger candles. I think they were a dollar at the time. And I lit those big dollar candles up. And I thought, Jesus, you're going to hear me now because I'm lighting all these big candles up because you need to hear from me. I need to hear from you. I was desperate. I was desperate to hear from God. I needed God then more than ever. And I still need Jesus now more than ever. And so do you. So no matter what anyone, and believe it or not, you don't need to go burning candles, by the way. You don't have to do that. Jesus loves you where you are, on the way of where you're going for him. You take the talent that is in your life, and if you don't know what it is, I challenge you to go to the cross, go to Jesus, and say, Lord, I surrender all. Here is my life, I surrender all. And that you can become productive citizen to the community, to the country, to the world. That through you, that people will come to know Christ. People, from your talent, whatever God's having you to do, that you'll be a tremendous blessing to the world, to the country, to the nation, to your county, to your city. You know, that's what Jesus wants. And not for you to say, well, look at me and look what I've got. Look what I've accomplished. Now get rid of that. Look what Jesus has done. And you give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I remember ministering on the streets of Waikiki. And there was 9 of us or 10, I can't remember. It used to be 10 of us that would go to Waikiki to minister all night from 7 o'clock all the way to probably 8 o'clock the next day. We'd minister and minister, and we'd pour our hearts out to these men and women. I'll never forget that. And one time we had a lot of people gathering around. Lee was playing the guitar, and many people were giving their life to Christ. And I said, look what we've done. Look what we're doing. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I'll never forget this. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me and says, look at your hands. And I looked at my hands and I thought, not sure what's going on. And then Daryl came over, one of the buddies that we were ministering to people. And he said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. The Lord's dealing with me. I'm not quite sure what's going on. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me about my hands. And Daryl looked at my hands and says, what about your hands? I said, I don't know. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart and said, you know, where are your nail marks? Where are your nail marks? You don't have them. Jesus does. And he shares his glory with no man. So remember this. No matter what you accomplish, no matter how successful, how famous, how rich you become, look at your hands. You don't have the nail marks. He does. And make sure that you give him all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. I tell you what, you'll never be the same. You will never, never be the same. You know, I was never the same when I totally rededicated my life back to Christ. I started talking again. I become a chatterbox in a good way, not in a negative way, but you know, now you can't keep me quiet now because I'm alive in Christ. And so I'm encouraging you, if your walk has gotten stale, and if you've gotten stale, and if you've walked away from the church, you get back in that church. Get back in that church. If someone's hurt you, like Pastor Malcolm said, there'll be plenty more that's going to love on you. And you go there to listen to the Word and let the Word minister to you. Grow in Christ. Grow in the Word. And I tell you what, you'll never be the same. And if someone has spoken something negative over your life that you'll never, whether it's your mom, father, friend, whoever, you take that and you bury those negative words in Jesus' name. You take that to the cross and surrender it and let it go. You learn to forgive. As the Bible says, 70 times 7, which is 490 times. Just wait a minute now. That's an infinite amount of times. I got to keep track of how many times I'm going to forgive that person. Forgive them and move on. Listen here. Let me ask you a question. You know, when I buried my father, I went up to him and gave the service, and I put a comfort cross. It's a stone from Israel made into a cross. It's a certain type of stone. And I, as a little, you know, I went up and a little nervous, and I put it in my father's hands, and I gave the other half to my stepmom. And as you break the cross, there's two crosses, and they're bound together, you know, wrapped in a band. And I took one and put it in my father, the biggest one, I put in his hand. And I gave the other one to my stepmom. It was a little difficult for me to do. Even giving his service was difficult, but I gave it. I looked at my father and I said, you know, my father's not mad at me anymore. And I'm not mad at him because he's dead. My father just was very critical to my sisters, to myself. But my father couldn't become critical anymore, could he? He was gone. I walked away from the service and I said, wait a minute. How can a dead man ever get offended? He can't. He's dead. If you've accepted Christ, and what I'm trying to say and reiterate or share with you, if you're dead to your flesh in Christ, you're dead to, like I gave my life to Christ. I'm dead to this flesh, but I'm alive in Christ. Then how can a dead man, my flesh, get offended? It can't. But you said, well, I have every right to be offended. Someone hurt me. No, you don't. For what Jesus did on that cross and shed his precious blood for you, for I, for all, doesn't give you a right to ever be offended, ever be mad. But I have every right, you said. No, you don't. You're called to love one another daily. You're called to encourage one another daily. You're called to forgive, and I believe daily. And move on. You know, your trouble, a lot of our troubles are we're letting the past direct our destiny. And you need to let go of that past and let Jesus control your destiny. You know, you need to let Jesus control your destiny. You need to bury that past and bury those negative words that people have spoken over you and move on. Some of you aren't moving on. You're stuck. You're stuck. And it's easy to get stuck. Come on, folks. Let's come on. This is church service I'm having today. We need to move on. And there are a few of you that aren't moving on that need to move on, and you don't have any joy. You're joyless, and you have no peace because you're dwelling on all the wrong things. Well, this person hurt me, and my family member hurt me, and this one hurt me, and no, you don't have a right. You need to surrender that and learn to forgive and move on. Well, the pastor hurt me. Oh, come on. We're all human. You know, we make mistakes. Go love on that pastor. Instead of, you know, talking bad about him, start encouraging him. Start loving on these pastors. Their jobs are difficult, and you don't know who you're sitting next to that might have lost a loved one, or that might someone said something to them that they might need a word of encouragement. You encourage them. What I'm trying to say was, what you want Jesus to do for you, you need to be doing for other people. You know, you need to be pouring your life out on other people and stop dwelling in you know, the past and what someone said. Come alive in Christ. I want you all to come alive in Christ. Well, I'm going to play a song, and I want you to listen to it. And enough of me for right now. It's by Twyla Paris. When I was in the mission field, I listened to Twyla, and I brought, you know, when you have a quiet time, just spend a few minutes with Jesus instead of spending an hour on the internet and searching these websites, you know, kind of maybe spend more time with Jesus. And then sometimes in my quiet time, I just put some praise music on, and I want to put one song on, and I'll be right back to go into the message, and hope you're enjoying it. I'm not picking on anyone. I don't want to ever have a critical spirit. I just know that and sense in my heart that there's people out there, y'all need to learn to forgive and bury it. Bury that past and let's move on. And let your lips praise Him. Shall praise thee. Boy, that song really ministers to me each time, each and every day that I listen to Twyla Paris or anyone that's playing praise and worship music. I just listen to it and say, Lord, how can I become more like you? How teach me to spend more time each and every day with you in the word, my quiet time. Teach me, Father, because I need his help. I don't know about any of you, but I need his help each and every day. And if you haven't forgiven someone, I'm asking you to forgive that person. I'm asking you to let go of the past. I feel like Jesus is telling me to tell you, let go of that past. Let go of those hurting words that people have hurt you and surrender. Surrender that past to Jesus and let him help you bury that past. Because I tell you what, I don't think you'll, I really feel in my my spirit that if I ever held on to my past, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't. I'd be still stuck in the past. And some of you that are that maybe listening to me, don't turn that dial off. You're stuck in your past. And the scriptures tell us that he that looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're looking back at the past, the hurts, the pains, the disappointments, the discouragements. Let it go. Come on, let it go, saints. Let it go. This isn't a perfect life. But Jesus said, I came. And I came to give you life. And life more abundantly. That's what he wants. He wants you to live that abundant life. He doesn't want you to live in defeat. He wants you to live this abundant life in him. As Pastor Malcolm reiterated again Sunday, this past Sunday, it's really Jesus and knowing him, getting closer to him, letting the flesh die. Let this flesh die. And how can it die? Become more like him. Reading the word, spending time with Jesus, getting to know him more, letting go of those hurts, those pains, those disappointments in life. John says in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 3, he must increase. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. How does one increase? By yielding your life and saying, Lord, I surrender all. Come into my life. Come into my life. Just come into my life. Old things are passed away. Behold, I'm a new creature in Christ, that I might decrease, that he must increase. You ever get out on the road and people want to run you off? That's their flesh. When you know Christ, you need to die to the flesh, because the flesh is, you know, wants to do a lot of things, but what would the Lord have you do? I want Jesus to increase in my life, not my stinking flesh, not my stinking past, not what other people have said to me, not that letter that I just received a couple weeks ago. That letter is not going to determine my destiny. Jesus will. Jesus is going to determine your destiny, not a letter, not a stinking letter that someone wrote from the flesh. You know, not someone that spoke to you and said you'll never mount anything. You know, your past will never direct your destiny. Jesus will. You just need to let him. You need to, first thing, bury that past. Go to the cross. Go to Jesus and say, Lord, I need to have a funeral service today and bury this stuff. I've held on to it for way too long. I'm going to have a funeral service today. Lord, would you help me bury it? The scriptures tell you, the battle's not yours. The battle belongs to Jesus. Come on now. Come on. Come on now. You know, you might, that gentleman that wrote me the letter, I cried. I cried all night. And I did. And I had to learn to let that letter go. And that gentleman, if you're listening, it was a guy that wrote it. And if you're listening, I pray Jesus' peace on you. I pray that he would shake you, wake you, stir you up, fire you up, that you would become, not have a critical spirit. And in his letter, he said that my theology is wrong. Look, I'm not a theologian. I'm really not the most educated to be on the radio. You've heard me say that over and over and over again. But I'm the most willing. My heart is willing to be on this program. I try to study. I try to do a good job for you all. And when you hear me speak, it's from the heart, not my head. A lot of times I believe, you know, we operate from the head knowledge, you know, like the Pharisees and scribes. They all had head knowledge. They told people what to do, when to do it, how to do it. When you get the word from the head to the heart, I tell you what, that'll stir you up. That'll fire you up. You'll never be the same. You take the word when you read it, get it in the mind, but ask Jesus to put it in your heart. Yeah, put it in your heart. And I tell you what, you'll never be the same. You won't be the same. You will do things Jesus would be telling you to do. You know, feed the hungry, help the widows, help the orphans, help your pastor, help this one, help the neighbor to the right. Come on now, saints of God. You need to get fired up and stirred up. Church needs to get fired up and stirred up for Jesus. You know, I ministered a lady that had a sign out. She said, revolution. I had to pull the car over to the side and go minister to that lady. She said, and I said, that's right. We need a revolution. She said, you're on my side. And I said, what side are you on? She said, down with America, down with capitalism. I said, what? I said, no, we need a revolution for Jesus. Jesus will change all your stinking thinking. You got to let him. A lot of us just have stinking thinking because we've been in the flesh. That's why in John chapter 3, verse 3 said, he must increase. Jesus, every day in our lives that we live and breathe. that we decrease, that our flesh, let it go. Let the past go. Let the stinking thinking go. Maybe you're doing things that aren't contrary to the Word of God. Get before Jesus and say, Lord, clean me up. Clean me up. I need a clean up. You know, I need you to change my stinking thinking. You know, that I can be that light into the dark places and not become critical. Some of you have a critical spirit. Let that go. And I don't like that. I don't even have time for that. I don't have time to gossip about people. I don't want to get into that area. I don't want to do that. I barely have enough time to encourage my wife, let alone just sit there and talk negative about someone. Lord, help me. Help me. We need to really, Lord, help us. Father God, today, as your word reminds us in John chapter 3, verse 30, reminds us that Jesus must increase in our life. Father, increase greatly in our lives. Father, today is where we are. Father, if we're at work, if we're sitting down, minister us on how to decrease. It's just by surrendering our flesh and becoming more like you, that our flesh decreases, that our flesh doesn't rise up and get angry and say things that shouldn't say. Father God, help us with our mouth to speak right. Help us with our eyes to see the right things, our hands to be more loving towards one another. You know, that this spirit in America that's anti-Israel, anti-Christian, and whatever, Father God, I pray you'd shake our nation up like never before, Father God. You know, that we love one another. Love one another with your love. Stir us up, Father God, that we can be that light into the dark places that you're sending us. If we can only surrender our flesh, Father God, and I mean on a daily basis, for me it's every second that I surrender my flesh. Father God, help those that are listening rise up and say, Lord, help me bury my past, bury my stinking thinking, you know, bury my flesh, that I don't rise up and increase, that you increase in my life every day. So, Father God, I pray and bless the listeners that are listening, that we change on a, I believe every, we change, Father God, our hearts, our minds, our mouth, our soul. Father God, just help me, that tell the people that we need to surrender, that we need to surrender all to you. You know, I need to surrender my mouth. I need to surrender everything, Father God, that I can become more like you until the day you call us home. And Father God, that we can be that light into the dark places, that blessing you've called each and every one of us to be, that blessing. And it doesn't matter the age. I turned 70, and I thank you for that year that, Father God, that I'm 70 now as of yesterday. Instead of complaining about getting older and grumbling about this doctor's appointment, Father God, that you take that away from me now. You would have me not concentrate on the doctor's appointments, the age 70 now, that you would have me stay focused, come more alive for you than ever before. That those listeners that are listening, Father God, if they've got a call on their life, Father God, that they might say that they're too old. They're not too old to wake up and do the things you're calling them to do, to be that blessing that you're calling them to be. Father God, if any are listening and they need to surrender some things, the past, their mouth, their stinking thinking, that they surrender that today, Father God. It's important, Father God. We're living in the last days, dark days, and I'm not a theologian to talk about end times, but Father God, I just know the days are dark. And as they get dark, Father God, I pray that those of us would let our light shine more now than ever, that people would say, what makes him tick? It's Jesus that makes me tick. Why is he so loving? It's Jesus that is. It's his love, not mine. So, Father God, those that are listening, I pray you would stir them up. You would deal with them. Shake them up. Father God, burn those things out, the critical spirit out of them. Burn their past up, their past that was dark, their past that was hurtful like mine. You would just learn, have us to bury those things that have been painful. Let us set our eyes on you, as your word says to all of us, perfect peace is his, whose mind is stayed on Jesus. Not the past, not what someone said, not what a critical letter we just received, but you give us your peace. Father God, you set us on fire for you. You know, not for show and tell. I'm not into that. But that we can be that blessing, if we go to Publix or the store or the doctors, that someone will say, well, what's different? Something's different about you. You'll have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, how great Jesus is. And no matter how successful, Father God, that we become, Father God, no matter how much money you give us, that we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And that we would share our wealth. We would share it, because we're not going to take it with us. Father God, you show us. You show us what we're to be a blessing in the ministries that we're to bless. Father God, that we become parts of many ministries in these last days, Father God, for your purpose and for your glory. I thank you, Father God, for raising people up now, people that would just look to you and serve you and serve your people. And I pray, Father God, you would help them bury their past, bury their stinking thinking, Father God, that they may be that blessing that you're calling each and every one of us to be. And Father, we pray for Israel, the apple of your eye. Father God, that no weapon formed against Israel shall prosper, Father God, that you protect your people there. Many are anti-Israel, anti-Jew, and Father God, I pray that you would get their give them a love for your people. And I pray that no weapon formed against Israel, Father God, shall prosper. That we can get rid of that anti-Jew, get rid of that hating Jews and hating Democrats or hating Republicans. And this is awful what's going on. It's awful, Father God. Just help us. You know, be at peace with one another, that the Democrats can be at peace with Republicans and Republicans can be at peace with Democrats. That give us a spirit of unity, Father God, that only you can give us. Father God, that we're not always in strife or arguments with people, Father God. Have us to keep our eyes on you, Father God. And Father God, for Iran, I pray you'd stir those people up. You would stir them up. And if they don't want to make a decision, Father God, then raise the young people up, Father God, to make those decisions that Iran needs. Because destiny and lives are at stake in that country, you know. And I pray you would raise the right people up to stand up and say, enough is enough. We've got to cooperate. Father God, you bring peace back to that land, freedom back to that land, Father God. You bring peace and your freedom. And there are many there that know you, Father God. And I pray you would use many of them to stand up and say, we've had enough of this nonsense. Father God, that you once again would show up in Iran, Father God. You would help those people. Help us, Father God. Help us. Help us, Father God, that we need you now more than ever. And thank you for this day. Thank you for the listeners, Father. If they have a broken heart, Father, you can mend that broken heart that they have. And I pray, Father God, now more than ever, just use us all. That whatever you need us to do, Father, we would do it. And I thank you, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Well, my program's just about over. I hope you've enjoyed it. I come here to share my heart with each and every one of you, and that to be a blessing to you. And I do my best. I do my best coming here. I come in here, if you look at me, I'm dependent more and more on Jesus every day that I live. I just want you, each and every one of you, to fall deeper in love with Jesus. And not just every Sunday go to church and fall deeper in love with him. Every day in your life, that you would say, Lord, guide my steps, guide my ways, guide my thoughts, that I may be the light into the dark places that you're calling me to be. Well, I pray God bless each and every one of you, that you'll never be the same, that Jesus may stir you, shake you, that you commit your life wholeheartedly to Jesus. Let go of the past. Let go of the sin. Let go of all those things that are weighing you down. And if you have a vision, the scriptures tell us, without a vision, my people perish. You get a vision for Jesus. Because if you don't, you'll perish. Don't go to your grave taking the talent and waste it. You take the things that God has given you and you use it for his purpose and for his glory. Many people die and they never take the talent and used it for man, to be a blessing to mankind. The greatest talent and waste I've ever seen is in a cemetery, because people took their gifts with them. They didn't use them. They were too afraid. But don't go to and draw your last breath, and you should have, you could have, but you didn't use your talents. Let Jesus stir you up today. And your vision, you know, use it. Ask Jesus to wake you up. The program's called Wake Up. Come on, let's wake up. And if he's giving you something to do, an assignment, just do it. If you've been dreaming about doing something, I tell you right today, stop dreaming. Stop dreaming. You've been dreaming too long. Now go live that dream now in Jesus' name for his glory and for his purpose. Stand up, speak up, and be that light that he's called you to be. Stop dreaming. I love what Martin Luther King once said. I have a dream. I have a dream. That's great. You can dream it too long. Come on, wake up. Now go live that dream. Whatever it is that Jesus has told you to do, I want to stir you up and encourage you. Stop dreaming. If you're called to be a pastor, become America's greatest pastor they've ever seen. If you're called to be a nurse, you become the greatest nurse the hospital has ever seen. If you're called to be a garbage man, you become and be the greatest garbage man the world has ever seen. If you're called to be a housewife, you become the greatest housewife a husband could ever have. If you're a co-worker at a nursery, you become the greatest worker in that nursery they've ever seen. You be that light to those that are in darkness. You be that blessing that he's called you to be. And I tell you what, and make sure that whatever you do, however successful you become, don't forget to give Jesus all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor goes to him. Not you, not you. You don't have those nail marks. Remember, he does. Go out there, get fired up, and fire other people up for Jesus. Well, until next week, I pray that God will richly, richly bless you, stir you up, encourage you, that you will draw near to him. And he said, he will draw near to you. God richly, richly bless you all. Let's fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus.
Sitting at your feet is where I wanna be. I'm home when I am here with you. Ruined by your grace and never by your gaze. I can't resist the tenderness of you.
Sing this song.
My heart beats for you, precious Jesus. I'm deep in love with you, Lord. I'm deep in love with you, Abba Father.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.